Good morning. King's Kids, if you are in second grade on down, we have junior church for you if you would like to go. Hey, wait, I didn't say you could go. I just said we had it ready. Come back, come back, come back. I want to go now. Me too, okay? But I need you to find somebody you love and give them a hug. Tell them you love them. There we go. Wait, whoa. Come on, Allie. You can do better than that. I want a real hug. I want them to, like, squeeze the breath out of that guy. Yeah! All right. King's Kids, you are dismissed.
Bye.
Bye. Happy New Year to you, too. Don't worry. I feel your pain. The rest of you are stuck. No fruit snacks in here for you. Would you listen better if I threw you snacks? Yes, look. My janitor says no. You're allowed to bring water into the auditorium, and it's not the people who bring the drinks that we're worried about. It's the people who didn't that kick over your drinks, and little people. I'm just saying, that's the way it is. So, yes, and we've been postponing, replacing this carpet for a very long time. Because about the time we think about it, somebody spills something. We're like, we don't care about this carpet, but. It doesn't mean cut loose and spill all over the place. You know how that is. So, are you ready? Happy New Year to you. Deep breath. Is anybody already behind on this New Year? Confess. You're behind on your Bible reading. You're behind at work. You're behind on your chores. You're behind on everything. All right, good. Is anybody way ahead? Come on, go-getters. Is anybody like, oh, I've knocked it all? Nobody? Good. We got the right people in this church. You all fit together perfectly. I appreciate the honesty. I really do. I haven't seen some of you in a couple weeks because of the weather, because of sickness. Continue to pray for one another. We have a lot of cold-like symptoms coming around. And so far, everybody has tested negative, but that's just the way it is nowadays. Sickness. It's winter. There are allergies. It's dry. Respect people's space. If they act like they're not swooping in for a hug or for a handshake, respect that. It's okay. It's just life right now. Pray for one another. Lift up one another. If you don't see somebody who's usually in your row or in your class, call them. Call them. Check up on them. I'm just soaking it in. We got a good people. I haven't seen you in a while. Glad you're here. Always glad you're here. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Wanda, if I never say it, if I don't always say it, I'm always glad you are here. Nobody encourages me more from week to week than you. And she doesn't even talk to me. She doesn't have to. I know what's going on, and she is here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing little people. Thank you for sitting here in church, quietly taking notes without your parents telling you what to do. That matters. I appreciate that. Thanks for coming, even though your washing machine has blown up on you this week. Thanks for coming, even though you had a long week at work volunteering your backside off. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Another week is ahead of you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. You had to come. Thank you for coming anyway and not making a problem. Thank you. Thank you. Sound guys, I always neglect you. Thank you for coming too. Thanks for not muting me every time I talk about you. He could. Next week, we will dive in to the book of Philippians. I needed another week to prepare. So that sermon I spontaneously threw at you a week before replaced a sermon that I had prepared. So I'm giving you the pre-prepared sermon. I'm recycling. It's all the rage. You've never heard this before. You almost heard it. It was really close. It was intended to be an end-of-the-year sermon, so it was really easy to make it a beginning-of-the-year sermon. It's just the same stuff. And full disclosure, I've been using the ESV for a few years now. Beginning with the book of Philippians next week, I'm going with the New American Standard. I posted something on the website if you want to know why that translation is unique. I've found myself referring to it a lot in the last few weeks for other reasons. And I was like, hey, I haven't been there in a while. I've used it in the past extensively. And the readability of the ESV is great. And the NASB is not so great. It's a little more wooden because it takes the original languages and tries to keep the words in order. And that doesn't always translate well. But that's a good thing. That's why I'm doing it. You don't have to have an NASB to follow along. In fact, next week, the ESV and the NASB are the same. So you're going to see a lot of overlap. I just want you to be aware of that. Some of you like to follow along in exactly what I'm using. So hit the thrift stores this week. Find your recycled version. That'll work well. Or just use what you have. Craig, what version of the Bible do you think people should use? You've been around me a little while. They've heard me say this before. The one you'll obey. Do what it says. We're all good. We can work out the details later, and we will love one another because they all say that. We'll forgive one another. They all say that. We'll show grace to one another because they all say that. They may say it in different ways, but yeah, do what Jesus says to do. And believe it or not, we'll be a church. Love, forgive, and grace one another. In your Bibles this morning, open to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2 is where I'm starting. If you're an overachiever, then you can put your finger in John chapter 1. And if you're really going for it, then you can also put your pinky over in Colossians. The last few weeks, the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 has come up a lot because it contains a version of the Christmas story. We read from it a little bit, several weeks in a row. It's in songs. It's all over the place at Hobby Lobby. Hopefully they packed all that up. Is the Christmas stuff gone yet? I don't even want to show up at Hobby Lobby until they got, you know, Easter stuff out. So, just Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Great joy. God, as we reflect on last year and as we look forward to next year, God, help us to be honest with ourselves as to how full of you we really are. Help us to be brutally honest with ourselves. Search our hearts, God. Use your Spirit to step on our toes, to convict us, and to change us. Because, God, we do not always have great joy. And we should. You have made it possible, Heavenly Father, for us to find great joy and fullness every day, every moment, and in every circumstance. So shape our hearts and change, transform our minds, conform us into the image of Jesus, to the likeness of your Son, who always was abounding in joy. That's our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Good news of great joy, not little joy. I'm coming to you with some so-so news, with, you know, just enough joy for the day. No. Great joy, not limited, not short-lived, not temporary, a great joy, abounding, huge, enough joy, he's talking about this declaration about the Messiah. Jesus is the joy, by the way. It's not just news about him, it's him. He's our joy. And that joy, that huge joy, the joy of knowing the Lord, being with the Lord, serving the Lord, being filled with the Spirit of the Lord, it's enough for every human. That's how great this joy is. It's great in measure. It's also great in impact. It's great enough that whatever you are going through, you can find peace with God and joy in the Lord, even if the world and your flesh is on fire. You can find joy in the middle of pain, suffering, and death. That's how great this joy is. It's big enough for the world, but it's also enough for your suffering. How full of that kind of joy were you last year? It was a full year. Full of COVID, full of difficulty, full of death for some people, full of divorce. Had long lists of bills and short paychecks. Had some rebellion, had some heartache, had some sickness, disease. It was a full year. For some people here, it was full of babies. It was full of promotions and blessings. And every year is a mixed bag. We're going to get a little bit of both. However we live and however we respond to life, every year is full. But I'm not asking you if you were just full. I want to know if, in the middle of life, you found the fullness of God. Because that's what he's after. He wants you to be full of him. Isn't it kind of an insult when you tell somebody they're full of themselves? There are two options here. You are full and abounding and have the great joy of the Lord, or you are full of yourself. And that's not a good thing. So how do you fill up when you're already full? What's the solution there? What steps do I have to take? You have to empty yourself. We're going to see that in Philippians chapter 2. What does it look like to be humble? To live a life of humiliation and servant? With a servant's attitude and mindset. Jesus is going to show us that. So I don't just want you to be full in 2022 of life as usual. I'm wanting biblical, scriptural, Christ-centered fullness. The kind of fullness that can look at the rest of this month and to look at February and look at March, even look to April 15th and not flinch. The kind of fullness that helps you be like a tree planted, rooted by rivers of living water. And you are going to grow in season, out of season. Your leaves, yes, you're going to go through winter, but you're going to keep growing. Yes, some of that low-hanging fruit's going to be taken from you. Yes, other people can hurt you, whack off some branches, abuse you, take you, but they cannot kill you. Or at least they cannot kill the fullness that God intends for you. That's the Philippians 4:13 fullness. This is a familiar verse. I can do all things through Christ, right? And when we get to that context, he's going to talk, what are the all things? He's talking about suffering. I love when football players put that on their black, you know, Philippians 4:13. It's like, I can do all things. I can score. I can win. I can overcome. I can block. I can run. I can catch. That's not the context, buddy. You really want to put Philippians 4:13 into practice? Go lose the game. and learn to have joy. Learn to have joy in your suffering. Go get trucked over by the fullback. Snot bubbles kind of, you know. Oh, joy of the Lord right there. Suffering. That's what Paul is talking about. It's in your greatest suffering that you will realize the importance of being full of God. Because when you don't have it and you suffer, you're desperate. You're anxious. You're depressed. You're hopeless. Those are the signs of being full of self and full of the world. God has a prescription for that. His prescription for all of our problems is Christ. And Christ isn't here to fix them all in this life. Otherwise, this would be heaven. He's here to start a good work in you. Will he finish it? Yes, he will be faithful to complete it. You're in the process, in between. So we're talking about good news of great joy. And flip over to John chapter 1 to show us how did God make this fullness he wants us to have. If we're supposed to have fullness of Christ, fullness of the Spirit, how is this even possible? Well, John 1:14. And the Word, the Son of God, the eternal, existent Creator, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory. Glory as of the only, totally unique, begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in verse 16, look what verse 16 says, John 1:16. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So John 1:14-16, write down the word fullness in your outline. The apostles say we experience this fullness and that's what we want you to have. Think about that for just a second. The apostles experienced the fullness of Jesus. Does that mean they never got diseases and never got sick and never died? Nope. But they had the fullness. They had the fullness of God. Does that mean they left an endowment and they had riches and they left land and they had a full retirement fund? Nope. They didn't have the fullness of wealth. But they had the fullness of Jesus. They didn't have a fullness even of influence. So they say, from His fullness, we've received all the grace that we need. Oh, man. And then Paul, Lord, remove this thorn. Lord, remove this thorn. Lord, remove this thorn. Paul, my grace is enough. Yes, Lord. In 2022, will you be able to take whatever God allows into your life and say, yes, Lord? You don't know what that's going to be. Some of it's going to be, yes! Some of it's going to be, yes. Because you know what it's going to take. You know what it's going to take to do what is right, to do what is kind, and to do what is necessary for yourself, for your family, for your church, for your work, and everybody's asking you to do something. Everybody's got your 2022 scheduled and ready for you. They're just ready to plow you into it. I'm not ready for that. I want the fullness of God no matter what this world throws at me. Now flip to Colossians. I'll throw these scriptures on the screen as well. I like how Paul talks about it. Colossians 1:19, talking about Jesus. In Him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Okay, that's why we're going to Jesus. That's why Paul reminds the church, go to Jesus. It wasn't enough just to mention that. In chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, the Bible repeats things because you need teaching. You need to be reminded. This church needs to be reminded. We need to be reminded. We go through the Bible, we read through the Bible, we preach through the Bible regularly because the world is constantly pouring into us other things. And we're bailing it out, and God is, as we bail it out, God wants to fill us up with Christ, with more of His fullness. And even the fullness that God gives us, we are broken vessels. We are needy people. We don't just fill up and we stay full. Man, we are leaking out here and there. It's like me doing plumbing. How many trips to Lowe's? No comment, John Rose. How many? Water off, water on, water off, water on. Check it, tighten it, replace it, repeat. Repeat. Finally call for help. Good job. Our own spiritual lives, we are leaking everywhere because we are not in our glorified state yet where we can contain the fullness and keep filling up on it for the rest of our lives. So keep filling up. Why? In Him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And in chapter 2, verse 3 of Colossians, turn to 2, 3. In Him, there it is again, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything you need to know is in Jesus. All of it. All the answers you need, He's got them. Why doesn't He give them to me? Obviously, He thinks you don't need them right now. It's called living by faith. Sometimes He says, trust me. Not always a clear answer with God. Not always yes. Not always no. Sometimes it's... And you're like, I don't get it. He's like... The silence usually means, I've already told you. That's what it did when my parents looked at me like that. They didn't want to say the same thing for the umpteenth time. That was a common word in my family. For the umpteenth, I don't even know how many that is, but I imagine it's a lot. So if you know what I'm saying, Ethan? Does your mom ever, your dad ever give you like, it's like, they're expecting you to know. Why? Because it's been said before. What if you can't remember it? Now sit down, shut your mouth, and instead of creating more trouble, just sit down, meditate, think, reflect, chill. There are a lot of good words for this. He has all. Let Him give it to you. Let Him remind you. If you still don't get it, God is very kind, and He does repeat Himself eventually. But He's going to point you to Jesus. In Colossians 2:9, just a few verses after that, in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. If you want all of God, where can you find it? In Him. In Him. In Him. That is a phrase that comes up a lot in the epistles, a lot in the teaching of Paul, a lot in the Bible, a lot in the New Testament. But what does it mean? So what? In Him. Yeah. That's the right question. You're asking the right question. How can I be in him? What does that mean for me to be in him? The problem is, for me to answer that question for you, I have to sit down with you. And then I have to sit down with you. And then you. And then you. And then you. And then you. The answer to living in him, being in him, there are some generalities. We need to read his word. We need to pray. We need to go to church. We need to learn to serve. Yes, but it's going to be different when you're at work around those people and those situations. It's going to be a lot different when you're done with work and you're struggling with those transitions and those situations, or when you're just an apprentice at work and you're learning to learn those traits and skills. It's going to be different for each one of us. That's your life. I'm here to say, in Jesus, in him, if you'll make the effort to give him more of your time, your attention, he will help you in each and every situation. It is the testimony of millions of Christian people since the beginning of the church that God shows up and helps people when they make the effort and put themselves in him. Something we should talk about in our small groups. Something we talk about in our Sunday school classes. Something you should talk about in discipleship, in the ladies' ministry, in the men's ministry. Those are the things we are hashing out when we get together. It should not be all about the weather, your kids, your job. It needs to be about how can God help me with my kids and help me with the job and acclimate me to this crazy weather? Like, God, what are you doing? And his answer is, what are you doing with the weather? You chose to live here. Wherever you go, it's going to be that way. Fullness. I want more of Jesus in 2022. And I've got something for you. God's will for your life. Yes, you've been waiting all year for this. 9 days. God's will for your life in 2022. You ready for it? Be found in Christ. Is that not the best preacher answer you ever got in your life? That is so unhelpful. Yeah, I like that. So write that down. God's will for your life, that you would be found in Christ. And there are a lot of ways I'm going to say this in the next year. To be found in him is to be full of Christ, to be immersed in Christ, to feast on Christ, where Jesus is your bread of life. Jesus is your new wine. You're filled with the Spirit, not the things of the world. You're led by the Spirit, not by your feelings and emotions. You're conforming to the Spirit, not to the world. You're a product of your faith, not your circumstances. You're responding and living by faith, not just out of reactions. You're living a purposeful, meaningful, Christ-centered life, and you're not living like your hair is on fire. Stop, drop, and roll. Man, I learned that a lot in school. Like, so much so, I should have been on fire like 20 times in my life by now. They taught that so much. But I've never caught fire, but I've seen some terrible videos of people on fire. And people freak out. Some of you freaked out last year when things didn't go right in your life. It's going to happen again. Get ready for it. Learn the procedure. Learn to talk to God while things are... You don't learn to stop, drop, and roll when you are on fire. You prepare now for life. You prepare. How do we prepare? When you are full of Christ, when you're found in Christ. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3:19. Oh, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul would not pray that unless he believed that was possible. Why does he pray that they would be filled? Because the Apostle Paul believed it. He believed that it was possible for everyday Christians in the middle of some podunk town in the Middle East, in some of his letters to Europe and in Greece, he believed that people in cities that you can't find on the map now, he believed wherever they were that they could be full of Christ. He really believed that. That's why he prayed for that. And that's why we should look for that. We can be full. We can find Christ wherever we are, whatever we do. So this year, determine with me to seek Jesus better than you ever have before. Let me say that again. Determine to seek after Jesus better than you ever have before, and then you can experience the fullness of Jesus better than you ever have before. Everybody wants to have more God in their lives this year, but who's going to seek him better than they did last time? God's will for your life, be found in him. Wherever you are in the Christian life, there's more. Whatever you've experienced of God already, there's more. There's more. Some of you did a great job last year in your small groups, sharing, growing, praying, writing out scripture. Some of you did new things last year and it changed your life. There's more. For those of you who kind of fell off your Bible reading, wavered in your faith, made some bad decisions, suffered, cried, doubted, it's okay. There's more. There's more. There's enough. If all things are in Christ and the fullness of God is in him, I guarantee you there's more. And there's enough for God to help you. There's more. Lean into this year expecting more, because you never find it unless you are looking for it. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. That's me knocking. Ask, seek, knock. When Jesus gives us those words of advice, it's, remember, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because your Father hears. And in his timing, he will answer. You will find, and the door will be open to you. Ask, seek, knock. That's a good theme for you for this year. Ask, seek, knock. Now, I am not crazy, so I cannot promise you that COVID will not hit you this year. I would not dare to tell you that you will avoid cancer. If you give enough, you're going to avoid cancer. Are you crazy? I'm not going to dare to tell you you can escape loneliness, depression, or bankruptcy this year. I can't tell you that. I can't speak to those things. But I can speak to fullness. The kind of fullness that will carry you through all of those things, where God will be with you in the middle of all things. That will change you. May not change your circumstances. So many people pray for God to change their circumstances, when what he really wants to change is your heart. Is you in the middle of your circumstances. And when you get that, that's the crazy part. When you get that, that's sometimes when the circumstances actually start to change. When God has you where he wants you. When you are finally so desperate, broken, and dying that he changes your heart. And it's never too late. You're never too old. You're never too young for Him to get a hold of you. God wants to do something special through you this year. And it's know Him better than you ever have before. Trust Him more deeply than you ever have before. Surrender to Him more recklessly than you ever have before. Follow the leadership of His Spirit more quickly, instantly, than you ever have before. Forgive terrible people more quickly than you ever have before. Would that change you? Yes. Would that change your circumstances? Sometimes. Not always. This is a harsh world, and there are some hard people out there. No matter what you do, you can never make them happy, and you can never change their hard hearts. But God can use your transformation to wake some people up. That's exciting. That's exciting. In Christ, we can do all things. Let's wrap it up with some practical steps. Here we go. Ways you can glorify Jesus in 2022. First one, glorify Jesus with like-minded Graceway members. What does it mean to be a member? Somebody you covenant to pray for. Somebody you serve with. Somebody you give to. There is so much more to learn about God within a structured community than you can learn about God alone. You can learn many things about God on your own by yourself, but it's limited. You are limited by yourself on your own without a church family praying for you, without committing to a group of people. You can only reach so far to God because by yourself, you cannot practice any of these hundreds of one another's. You can't. By yourself. You need people. Man, we need you. We need you. We need people who've been through the ringer. Because more people are coming. And I love saying, oh, you had a miscarriage. Talk to so-and-so. I can't talk to a young lady about that. Never. Your husband has left you. I can't talk to somebody about that. So-and-so can. Go pray with them. You're a single parent. I can't identify with that. But they can. And they can. You see how we can be better together? Suffering together and filling up together. That's filling up. We as a church can have more fullness of Christ than any single person in here can by themselves. Because we'll experience more together, learn from one another. Lifetime plus lifetime plus lifetime of experience is way more than one life of living for God. You need us this year, and we desperately need you. How can you glorify God better this year? With like-minded, gospel-centered Christians. And I'm going to be honest. Some of you need to be members here, and some of you need to be members somewhere else. Because if you're not all in, you're not all in. You need to be all in. You need to participate. With like-minded people, together, like spending time together, like not just sitting shoulder to shoulder, all facing the same way, listening to one limited guy tell you what God has told him. Not enough. I am not enough to give you the fullness of God. You desperately need each other. I think that's why, Shelby, our small groups have been doing really well, because they have found in each other way more than they're getting from just me. Oh, you're tapping into it. You're tapping into it. It's why we do that. With like-minded Graceway members, it is a very meaningful thing to be a part of something bigger than just your family. The fullness of God in us is greater than the fullness of God just in you. Number two, here's another big way to glorify Jesus this year. By meditating more slowly. Gotten some fantastic feedback on people who have been writing out books of the Bible this last year because they write slower than they read. And when you write the Bible out, word for word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, you're slowing down and you're reflecting and you're learning. And you're not just like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, done for the day. You're like, for God. It slows you down. That is forced meditation of listening to the word of God with your heart, with your mind, with your ears, with your hand. Read through the Bible differently this year. Find a different translation. Find a different order. Find a different program. Break it up. Don't read it backwards. That's weird. There are some things that may not be beneficial. But find a reliable method to get yourself to expose yourself to God's word in a new, fresh, dynamic way. Make it. Let it become alive to you again. A new plan, new translation, new order, maybe a new time of the day. If you always struggle to read it first thing in the morning, maybe your lunch break would be better. Or maybe your 3 o'clock coffee break would be a better time. Or maybe when you get home and you got those few minutes before the kids get home or before your spouse gets home, or maybe in your car before you get out of your car and go into the chaos of your house, or maybe on top of your PlayStation or your Xbox to remind you, I need to do that. Like, put it somewhere meaningful, on top of your tackle box, on top of your shotgun, on top of your coffee machine. That's too personal. No. No. Okay. That's harsh. But you get the point, right? Those things, do something to help yourself, to remind yourself, and to meditate, to expose yourself. Maybe a new small group. Maybe writing it out. You should try that. Number three, by serving others more regularly. Glorify Jesus by serving people who can't pay you back. We do a great job, I think, in-house of serving one another. We need to work on serving community and serving other people and giving purposefully to people who are doing good things for God in our community. We've got two people right now, different days of the week, that are serving at Our Daily Bread. We have a couple different people who show up weekly at the Enid Welcome Table and serve meals on Sunday night at 4 o'clock. They don't have anybody doing the meal this week. They're doing it themselves. If you want to serve today, Central Christian Church behind McDonald's, 4 o'clock, tell them you want to serve, and they'll put you to work. Mercy House, the weather's cold, so they're opening up the homeless shelter. You can go onto Facebook. It's so easy. Click. Look at the schedule. Look at the jobs. Click. I'll do that. Show up. Do it. Do laundry. Fold their clothes. Hand out their toiletries. Stay in the kitchen. Help the meals. Be on the front line. Serve. Be checking people's bags in, work the locker room. I mean, there are a lot of different things to do. It's not all about, well, I don't know how to talk to people. You can love people without talking to them. When you get to love them, you'll want to talk to them. Take some baby steps. Do something to serve our community. Do something different this year. Number four, and I think this is the most important step. Steps 1, 2, and 3, I told you to do something, but I don't want you to think I'm telling you to add things to your life. So number four is stop doing so much. And the idea is this: we cannot receive the fullness of God to do what he wants, to love who he wants us to love, when we are full of ourselves and our plan and our agenda. To make room to actually be with like-minded Graceway members, to make room to actually have time for meditation, to make room and actually have time to serve other people, you are going to have to stop doing some very good things. The bad things, you should stop those no matter what. This is where people really struggle in their faith. They settle for good things, and they have no room for God's best. That hurts. They're quick to jump on the schedule and work overtime, but they'll never get off early to go participate in a ministry. They'll rearrange everything to make it to kids' ball games, but they can't show up on a Saturday to dig a ditch. We'll make huge sacrifices for people in our own families, but we won't give to the Christmas offering. Is helping families a good thing? Yes. Is working overtime? Yes. Is going to ball games, spending time with your family and your neighbors and helping people? Yes, 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 yes. There are a lot of good things you can do. And I'm not questioning, and I'm not trying to single out anybody or any family in here, but I need you to stop and think, what is the absolute will of God for my life? He may very well tell you, your kid needs you right now, and you need to show up for everything. And I will honor that. But you need to spend time with God. Are your kids relationally stable, emotionally stable, and they would be okay? And talk to people. You talk to your boss, you talk to your kids, you talk to your family. When they have a need or when they have an expectation of you, you don't just blow them off and say, well, God matters more. Because you will create so much resentment towards God if you do that. You need to look people in the eye and say, do you really need me? Because I would like to serve on Sunday nights. You know how we have that family thing that we do on this day? What if we as a family did this instead? You know how I haven't missed a single one of your games? How would you feel if I missed this one so I could go serve God over here? Talk to people. Explain what's going on. In some ways, changing your routine will not only change you, it'll change other people. When they see what your priorities are, it becomes a whole lot easier for them to jump in and for them to join you in what you are doing. So being with like-minded Graceway members, meditating more slowly, serving other people, you can't do those things unless you put the brakes on some other things first. That's God's will for your life. Listen to Him, fill up on Him. This last one is bullet points. We have talked about this before when we went through Henry Blackaby's study. Here's how God speaks. Write this down, we'll be done. God speaks through His Word. He transforms your mind, and you learn Word best in community, talking through it with other people. God speaks through His Word. What do you want me to do? Got it. Okay. You don't need anything new to do, by the way. He's got enough for you to do. Focus on those things. God speaks through prayer. This is where God speaks to your heart personally. Well, God told me. He can tell other people too. But we don't go by feelings. We have to put the Word with prayer, with the other two ways that God speaks. And at best, 25% of our spiritual decisions are based upon how we feel. That's one out of four. The other thing, that at best. So we're not a feelings-based people, although God can motivate you through your feelings and your discernment. He can transform your heart. God speaks through circumstances. If you do everything possible to schedule your wedding on a clear day and it rains, you can't control that, nor can you control your sickness. You can't control your health. God can speak to you through that. He stops you from doing things through circumstances. And God speaks through other Christians. This is where we learn and listen to other people at their best moments. That's the part we all like. We learn and listen to other people at their best, comma, and we learn to forgive one another when we are at our worst. And you cannot, should not separate those two things. Because God speaks to you through that. Sometimes it's listen, sometimes it's lead. Sometimes it's forgive, other times it's forgive. It's learning to get along with one another in community with other Christians. So these, I think, I'm ready. I think I'm ready for the new year. You ready now? Is that enough? We're ready to roll Philippians next week. Stand with me and let's pray. As I pray, I need you to pray silently along with me. I need you to ask God, where do you want me to change this year? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Will you covenant with the other members of Graceway to pray for one another, serve together, and give generously? Has God shown you a specific way you need to meditate better this year? It's not too late to catch up on any Bible reading program. Turn off the TV, turn off your screens today. You can catch up in one day. You can meditate on His Word. Maybe you need to find a new translation. Maybe you need to show up for a small group, a new group at 9:30, or a new group that meets on Sunday nights, or a new group that meets on Tuesdays. What do you need to do to get the Word of God poured more slowly into your life? Or as you pray, God has shown you how you should be serving others. Our men's group is making a pointed effort on Wednesdays. We want to serve better. Secret Sisters, they serve each other. We serve at the welcome table. We volunteer at Our Daily Bread, Mercy House. Journey House needs help and helpers. But what do you need to stop? Where can you pump the brakes in your life and stop doing good things so that you have room for God's very best? God, thank you for calling us to pray and to meditate. Thank you for giving us the opportunity of this new year. You brought us through the chaos of 2020 and 2021, and it looks like 2022 is going to be more of the same. But you are a God who never changes. You brought us through the past. You're preparing our future. Help us this year to learn from your word, to learn how to pray together, to learn from each other's circumstances and experiences, and help us to serve one another and forgive one another, to be the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. My hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Thank you. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead me. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin. Said that He will bring me home, and day by day I know He will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory ever. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Friends, a blessing as you go from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, and the flower, it fades. But the word of our Lord, it remains forever. God bless you as you go. You're dismissed.